The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Great pleasure now to welcome the Minister with responsibility for higher education at the Department of Education, Dunleary Fine Gael TD Mary Mitchell O'Connor. Today, she jointly launched with the Taoiseach a government programme designed to transform gender inequality in third level education. What we're talking about is a situation whereby the top dons, the professorships and the presidents of the college have a very poor representation. First of all, Mary, tell us, how bad is the situation?
Look, I mean, there is huge underrepresentation of women, and we have evidence of that within the top echelons of the university. So what we're doing now is going to try and have gender parity across the university. And if I can just give you an example, since 1592, and that's 426 years ago, we have, the first university was set up. We've never had a university president. We have, in the Institutes of Technology, we have two presidents out of 14, and there are state universities, state institutions of technology. And, you know, say at a level then that there's approximately 51% of women at lectureship level within the university, and yet less than 25% of them have full professorial recognition or are professors in our higher education institutions. So I am worried about what's going on, and I'm worried for our young girls and our young lads, actually, that we're sending to college. They don't have role models. They go into these bastions of, you know, of intellectual strength. And what they see is they don't see women
there. Are there any institutions are more offending? Like, we know of our Trinities and UCDs. You've mentioned the Institutes. You've your UCZs and NUIGs. Is there anyone standing out as a kind of outlier of sexist discrimination?
There is a huge variation. And to be fair, UL is up there. They have 31% of representation of professors in the system. Trinity is very good. There are some, and I'm not going to call them out over the radio, but there's one particular institution at 13%. There's been
why are you not calling them out? Is it Galway?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, to be fair, you know, it is changing. And I have been there on a number of occasions. I've met the new president. He has, you know, there's a different culture there. He has appointed a vice president there in charge of ensuring that there is gender equality. So it is improving.
Okay. Now, on this programme, there's not a week goes by we don't deal with different aspects of gender inequality. And a lot of reasons are put forward in terms of a glass ceiling, childcare issues, maybe lack of applicants for certain posts and so on. My first question to you really is, why do you think it is? Is it a gender bias in the filling of these posts? Do you have statistics of the number of women who actually apply? What do you think is the principal reason for this underrepresentation?
I have taken soundings in the past year going to all the institutes of technology and the universities, and I've spoken to women in the system and indeed men in the system. And just to make sure that people understand, I have the Irish University Association in support. I have the TIA, which is the Technological Higher Education Association, supporting this. I have the university, the IFUT, that's the Association of University Teachers, all supporting this because they know that there's inequality
in the
system.
But the question was why?
So there's inequality in the system for a number of reasons. Number one, because the women, first of all, they're not getting into, their CV isn't getting through the process. We have research that will show us that if we do blind testing, so for example, if you and I both switched our CV, you would have a better chance going in with your name on my CV than I would have with my own CV and my own name. So that's there. There's conscious bias and there's unconscious bias. We know then that when women, and we've researched to show this, that when women do get into the interview, if they're lucky enough, what happens then is that the women have to prove themselves all on kind of past performance, whereas the men in at a CV, in at an interview, they will be asked, kind of, they'll be looked at as for their future potential. So there's a different mechanisms used for women and men, you know, in the whole recruitment of people at that professorial level.
Okay, well, I have been critical of you, Mary, that, you know, you've done a lot of faffing around about this, committees and task forces. So I welcome the fact that you actually got a plan now. What do you propose to do?
So, and I wasn't flapping around because I actually had
faffing,
to get...
Faffing is the word I
had
like.
To get really strong legal advice, which I've got. And I have got the support of my colleagues at the cabinet table. So what we're going to do is that we are now going to push in place for the next 3 years, 15 only specific senior academic posts, which women only will apply for. So on one side, we have the 50 places usually that come up every year because of retirement and there's a churn. There'll be 15 now additional places. So there will be now 65 places. So women and men can apply for the 50 posts, and that's as it was always. But the 15 is really the 15 new posts. That is disruptive, and that is to try and bring equity and equality into the system, because there is inequality in the system.
And men will be prohibited from applying for those 15?
Men will not be allowed. Applying. These are gender specific senior academic leadership. It's a leadership initiative for 15 posts.
Okay. And why did you pick that figure? Because, you know, in politics, we have a gender quota of 30%, 40% candidates. What percentage are you looking for?
What the percentage I'm looking for is 40% by 2020. By 2024. 2024.
6 years' time.
Now, if we were to continue the way we're going, we're improving about 1% to 2%. And for example, we would be at approximately 31% in 10 years' time. And for us to get to 40%, to get to 40% representation of women at that level, it would take 20 years. And you know what? I haven't time for that. And the women, you know, those very well-educated, very well-qualified women that are in the system, you know, they are being ignored. Okay. And they're being treated unfairly.
Okay, now, we've had a number of texts on what I was going to ask you anyway, which is that this whole area of employment law is subject to quite frequent court litigation. And Chris asks the question, has the minister checked out with the European Court of Justice that this will not break their laws of discrimination? And if not, will Fine Gael pick up the tab? My question to you, has the Attorney General said that any man who turns around and says, I feel I've been discriminated against here, I have the best qualification CV for this particular post, I've been excluded, how robust is it legally?
I believe it's very robust. We've authoritative legal advice from the Attorney General. It has taken time. And we also are very confident that EU case law will stand up. And I'll tell you why, because this is a balanced approach. This is constrained, it's curtailed, it's confined for 15 jobs for the next 3 years, 45 jobs, which will be disruptive, which will address the inequality in the system. And just speaking about the inequality, I mean, I've heard this on numerous occasions, and even I've brought the Constitution along with me, the book, our constitutional book along with me. And our Article 40 says all citizens shall, as human persons, be held equal before the law. But what's happening at the moment, women aren't being held equal before the law. And the information and the advice, the legal advice that I've got from the Attorney General, that the principle of equal treatment, that's what they use in the EU, is in line with the equal treatment that's mentioned within our constitution.
What about the argument that this is good for politics, it's good for gender politics, but at a time when our universities are slipping down the international league table, that this isn't good for education, and there are much more important issues such as resources for third level and other issues to keep higher standards rather than just gender politics?
Okay. First of all, you're saying this isn't good. This is good, actually, because 51% of us in this population are women, and we want to see equality for women.
Even beyond a meritocracy.
But these women are highly professional women. They haven't been given a fair chance within the system. There's paltry representation of women within the situation. And you know what I can say to you, Ivan? Talent alone, I'm sorry to say, is not always a guarantee to success, you know, in trying to rise yourself to professorial level in the higher education institutions. So this is a game changer. It is constrained. It's 15 posts. It is called positive affirmative action that I'm taking. I'm not bringing in quotas. The expert group didn't want that. The task force didn't want that either. So this is what I'm doing to address inequality.
Okay. I have a final question here from a texter. Did the minister take a good look at the age profiles of the professors? What is the percentage hired in the same or the last 10 years? Have things improved? And maybe this will end as the old boys club retires.
I have said just there a few minutes ago, what has happened since the 2016 report? There is an improvement, and there's an improvement of about 1-2%. That's what's happening. So to get to that 40% magic number, it would actually take us 20 years. And I suppose the other piece, and it kind of goes back to what your listener has sent in the query. I mean, we are going to extend a retirement age. So unless I do something to kind of free up places, and I believe that's what we're doing, to free up more places, to make sure that outstanding women get these posts, you know, unless I do something, it'll never change. It'll take 20 years and more.
Minister for Higher Education, Mary Mitchell O'Connor, Dunleary Fine Gael TD, thank you for joining us in studio, outlining your plans. Text me 53106. Are you with the minister? Do you cheerleading for her? Or do you feel that this will not answer the problems of third level education? Now, coming up next, we're going to find out big conference.